Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
I don't know. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
You make me want to kill. You make me want to learn. You make me want to shut up and wait my turn. You make me feel high.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ here with you over the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5, along with my technologically advanced co-host.
Yeah, I changed out a microphone stand by myself.
Where did you get that microphone stand? Did you find it in there?
Right here.
Oh, you took it up this one?
Yeah, I took it up this one.
Look, yeah. Look at how the place looks now.
It's all busted and disgusted.
Yeah, well, our engineers, they don't leave stuff laying around, okay? So, you know, we're going to have to clean this up before Joel gets here. He's going to be pissed about it. So, I'm telling you, when I saw the lineup last night, I was like, oh, my gosh, Dusty, he don't care. He just doesn't care. No Dubon, no McCormick. It was like Madris is in there, mm-hmm. and Myers, oh, the M&M boys.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what Dusty said. Oh, yeah? How'd that taste?
How you like that? It was the killer M's yesterday.
At the killer M's yesterday. Madris, 2 for 4 with 2 runs. He was fantastic. And Myers was he scored a couple of runs as well with 3 walks. It was unbelievable. And to come back, to come up with big hits. Now, listen, Jose Altuve not being around, I think, is highly underrated as how, you know, in the struggles for this ball club. But Jose Altuve here all year long, you know, you know how many more wins or how many more runs he supports. I know Dubon played great, and Dubon could still be in there. But not having Jose Altuve meant Dubon was in, and so was Myers or McCormick or someone else. So Jose Altuve being back and being Jose Altuve, 2 for 3, he hit the bomb. He had 3 RBIs. If he gets back to Jose Altuve, Jose Abreu continues to hit the way he has. Look at Jose Abreu coming up. Look at this month for him. Mm-hmm. This has been fantastic.
It's been a great month.
Comes up with another home run last night and puts the game away.
I guess the question would be, how, because they needed that just in case with the bullpen, they needed that home run.
Yeah, they needed that cushion.
But think about this. How did he go from such an extended streak of, you know, all of April, all of May, all of the second half of last year? The guy could barely, he had like 2 home runs over a 400 at-bat span or something crazy like that. How did he just now get his, he's got 6 home runs. We got 6 home runs now for Jose Abreu when we had zero not that long ago.
Right.
And what is the reason for it? What's going on?
Here he is after the game. Here is Jose Abreu and his interpreter, right, talking about why he is so much better right now.
Yo creo que lo más importante es darle mérito a Alex Citrón, que siempre está conmigo intentando que las cosas sean mejor. Yo creo que mi familia siempre me ha soportado en buenas, en malas. Yo creo que todos los muchachos en el equipo siempre me han soportado desde el día uno. Yo creo que eso para mí es bien importante.
Yeah, you know, I think the most important part for me is I need to give credit to Alex Cintron. He's been there with me the whole time, you know, always trying to make sure that I do things right. My family has supported me, and the guys in here have always supported me, so I've got to give them credit.
There you go. There's the credit, Alex Cintron. He's turned it around for him. I wish he was quicker.
He didn't really say anything specific, but...
No, but you know, they worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and looked at tape and... You know, this is what you were doing before and blah, 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 blah. It took a couple of months, but it finally kicked in, whatever Alex Cintron was selling.
Right.
And it certainly did work out for him. And now, Jose Abreu, now all of a sudden, do you feel, I mean, honestly, if we're gonna bash the guy for the way that he played early, we got to give him credit. We got to give Jeff Bagwell his props.
Well, let's see how the 3 years go, but it's really needed right now.
I'm all about a couple of weeks. Okay, if he homers yesterday,
hey, I don't care about Bagwell or the contract right now. I just care about production. You're trying to stay alive. I mean, you know, Christian Javier's performance is truly nightmarish right now.
Yeah.
For the Houston Astros. Cannot find strike zone. Velocity is way down. I'm looking at Baseball Savant right now, and I mean, his numbers, it's come down, you know, his ERA right now, his ERA is a 3.72 right now. He's been climbing and climbing and climbing. And I think, you know, the whip numbers were down below one. It was 101, 0.97, 0.95, 0.99. 0.83, and now he's up to a 1.17. It's just the speed is down. This year he is in his fastball velocity is at the 35th percentile. John, last year his fastball velocity was 55th percentile. This year it's down to it's down to the 35th percentile. Fastball spin is 47th percentile this year. Last year it was 79th percentile. Now his curve spin is really just as good. The curve spin's not really making much of a difference, but he's not throwing as hard. He's not throwing with the same level of spin, which can have an impact on some of the movement on that fastball. Something is going on right now with Christian Javier. A poor game yesterday. Gave up 6 earned runs, gave up 8 hits, had one strikeout. This is a guy who had a tremendous strike. His strikeout percentage last year was 94th percentile, was strikeout percentage. This year, 48th percentile.
Yeah.
There is something wrong
and lately
with his mechanics or his arm. There's something physically wrong. Because you just don't see these. Like, Christian Javier can't punch people out.
Well, we thought that there was something wrong with Presley too, right? I mean, there something went bad. He had 6 straight outings where he had given up hits, 5 straight outings where he had given up runs. He's on a run right now.
Well, I don't think there's anything.
He's been his last 5 outings, 0 hits. He only gave up the 1 run in extra innings in that Dodgers game without giving up a hit.
Yeah, but this is totally different to me.
Because there was a runner on second.
Ryan Presley, we're talking an inning. We're talking confidence. No one had talked about his velocity. He still had nasty stuff a lot of times. He would just make some mistakes. He got hit beat by some 2-strike stuff. Christian Javier doesn't even look sane.
No.
He can't strike people out anymore. He's throwing slower than he did. There's not much movement at all. I mean, this is a big concern. This is your number two who has number one stuff. He was one of the favorites to win Cy Young this year.
Yeah, you can rip that up.
Yeah, that ticket's gone.
Yeah, that's
something's going on with Javier, and they got to figure it out. Because you cannot fade McCullers, Urquidy. Listen, you can fade a lot of stuff, but you know what you can't fade? Verlander, Javier, McCullers, Urquidy, and Garcia out. It's like Fromber versus the world right now.
Yeah. And
he's the Scott Pilgrim of the pitching staff.
And that wasn't all that tutti-frutti last game either. Well, it's Hunter Brown as well, so he's going to have to step up. He's going to have to continue to step up as a rookie. And if he's got to win Rookie of the Year, then win Rookie of the Year. But they need him to pitch big time, big time, coming up here with this team. I mean, it is really, really getting that outing last night was like, oh my gosh.
Javier was 4-0 with a 2.40 and a 0.83 WHIP in the month of May. In June, he's 1-0 with a 5.79. And a WHIP of 167. Tell me something's not going on there. He's got 11 strikeouts. Last month he had 32 strikeouts and 9 walks. 32 and 9 in 1, 2, 3,
which isn't all that great for him anyway.
5 games. Well, 5 games. I mean, it's 30 innings, 32 strikeouts, 9 walks. This month he's got 11 strikeouts and 23 innings. Just last month, 32 strikeouts and 30 innings. This month, 11 strikeouts and 23 innings. Something's wrong. He had 9 walks last month and 30 innings. This year, he has 9 months and 23 and a third in June. something is not right with Javier. He's given up 30 hits. He's given up 30 hits this month, and 23 and a third. Last month, he gave up 16 hits in 30 innings. This is literally just, it started, it really started in their matchup. I don't know who they played there. Right after the Angels. Because the Angels game, he had 5 strikeouts, no walks. Gave up a run in 6 innings. But then it has been now, and he actually had a pretty good game against the Nationals, but he only had 2 strikeouts. He hasn't had more than 2 strikeouts in his last 4 starts. I mean, that makes no sense.
None.
You couldn't find any start where
no,
that was the
and the
case
walks the way up last game. He walked what? How many did he walk? Not this game, but the one previous.
He had
against
5.
The Mets. He had 5 walks and 5 a hit batsman. And a hit batter. So that's unbelievable. No, Chris, they have got to figure out what's going on with that dude, because that dude is vital to this baseball team. I don't think there's any question. And if you're going to ask, I mean, okay, do you want a hitter right now or do you want a pitcher? If you're Dana Brown. No question.
Right now, I think you have to take a pitcher.
It's a pitcher.
Well, with Javier like this?
Yes.
You don't even have enough to go to war. If this guy's somehow injured, you now have JP Francis, your third starter.
You're hopefully getting Yordan back. I see Uncle Mike in the dugout. I see him standing there. I see him sitting there and laughing with Altuve. I would love to see him on the field, maybe hitting or something. That'd be great.
I think we're past the 1 year mark on him. We are past the 1 year mark.
Yeah.
Since he's played. It's like Zion at this point. Like, I see him there. I saw him do a 360 yesterday.
Well, you didn't see. Uncle Mike is not like Zion saying, I just don't feel like Uncle Mike right now.
I'm just saying, we always see Zion there, and Zion's healthy and smiling and doing windmill dunks. Is Michael Brantley just ripping it to the gaps in batting practice and just saying, I just don't feel like Uncle Mike right now? I just don't feel like an uncle? What is he saying? What's going on with him?
Well, he does kind of feel, I think he feels like an uncle.
Honestly, I feel old
like an uncle.
Yeah, but I don't really miss him that much.
Guys step up.
I miss the one that I used to know, but you have guys, Jolks will have a game, and then McCormick will have a game, Myers will have a game, you know what I mean? Dubon, like, you've got some guys who are, I miss Yordan is who I miss. Yeah. I don't miss Mike. I haven't seen Mike for a year. I've seen him. I haven't seen him swing a bat for over a year.
If Abreu's hitting like this, Yordan gets back in the lineup, you know, Altuve has turned a corner and will be here and not have missing games and will hit the way that we know he can hit. This is still very, very doable. You do have to get a pitcher, though. You got to get a pitcher. You almost have to get another starter.
I mean,
I know he talked about, Dana Brown said, well, we're going to be looking at hitter now. Go get a pitcher. Go get a pitcher.
This Javier thing is going to have to make you reassess. But what you need, if you had Javier, if you could get him back, does he need an IL stint? Just put him on IL. Figure it out. But I know this much. If you have Urquidy come back at 100%, which I'm getting tired of saying if Urquidy comes back, that's getting, you know.
Well, apparently it's going to be sometime after the All-Star break. We'll see.
That's a while away.
No, it's coming up. What are you talking about? The All-Star break's July 9th.
It's still, well, I guess we're less than 2 weeks now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking it was about the 13th.
No.
So, well, you still have, what, 2 more starts without him? And then are we sure he comes back then?
Well, no. I mean, that was what they said.
I remember when Michael Brantley was going to be.
I don't remember that.
And McCullers was
fine. I don't
remember
anything like that.
McCullers was going to be fine.
713-780-3776. No, McCullers wasn't going to be fine. McCullers was never going to be fine. Okay, you're making stuff up now. All right, that's no one ever said that McCullers was going to be fine. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Our Astros won. That was nice. The final game of the series is tonight, and then they go on to the Rangers this weekend. A huge, huge series against the Rangers this weekend.
I want to bring up, when we come back, I want to discuss the pros and cons of just taking one on the chin this year and not panicking and making moves and just letting Urquidy and Garcia get back and figuring out Javier and Michael Brantley, or making a move which could deplete you in some areas of your minor league system or whatever. I want to discuss the two I want to look at the two potential choices that Dana Brown has in front of him.
Okay, you've got a choice. If you get in an accident, who are you going to call?
I'm calling John Daspit. There's no question about it. I don't even at this point think it's a choice. I think it's a demand. When you have been in a serious accident, whether it's an auto accident or you're at work and someone else has screwed something up, or you've been on, I know a lot of times he handles refinery blasts, he handles maritime injuries out on the water, offshore stuff that happens, and he makes sure that you are taken care of. It wasn't your fault that you got injured, but your hospital bills, your physical therapy, your time off from work, this needs to be taken care of. And John Daspit fights for every penny that you deserve. And not that you want, but what you deserve. And there are people who have serious injuries that can be long-lasting. And John Daspit understands that. And that's why he fights for your rights as someone who has been minding your own business and you were hurt because of the negligence of someone else. Well, John Daspit is here for you. He is going to fight hard for you. He's got offices all over the state of Texas. So if you know anyone in the state who has that kind of injury, if you have a friend or family member who has been injured like that, let John Daspit talk to them and let his law firm talk to them so that they can make sure that they get the settlement that they deserve for the injury that they suffered. 713-CALL-NOW. That's his phone number. 713-CALL-NOW. He's a trustworthy guy who has been tremendous, even outside of personal injury. He was a longtime lawyer at one of the most popular, successful firms here in the city of Houston. He's going to work hard for you, and he is good at what he does. 713-CALL-NOW or go to DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, doing just enough not to get fired.
Looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately.
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
Let's get back to John and Lance on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. More importantly, let's get back to the guy who does all the actual heavy lifting on this show, RJ. Hang in there, brother. Everybody listening knows who's the real hero here. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's RJ and these two guys.
All right. Lance is ready to throw in the towel. Are you? 713-780-3776. I saw Jeremy Branham put out something that Patrick Creighton was just, I mean, it was ugly between
Does
the two
Jeremy
of them.
Have a lot of hot takes on the air?
Jeremy
will cook sometime with, I'm not saying hot takes, but he'll cook. Like, he makes strong takes on Twitter.
Astros.
He'll say some things that aren't always popular.
Jeremy says Astros received Justin Verlander, Mets received Rafael Montero. Okay, so you're going to get rid of Rafael Montero for Justin Verlander.
Oh, the Mets get to receive him.
They get to receive Rafael Montero.
I'm sure his thought is you take
$34.5 million deal. Pedro Leon, Spencer Arrighetti, and Jacob Melton. Who says no? The Mets, first of all.
No. They can get more than that from another team.
Yeah, so you're going to give him the rest of the 43 this year, and you're going to give him another 43 next year. And
so Fred VanVleet's going to get that.
Yeah, Fred VanVleet is going
to
get that.
Fred VanVleet is going to get as much as Justin
million.
Verlander.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's truly an insane world we live in.
Well.
We'll get to that. That's a separate story. But I did think about this. I listened to Steve Cohen, the Mets owner, who threw a bunch of money at this team and has been a miserable disappointment. They're, 16.5 behind the Braves right now? They're in fourth place in the division.
They're awful.
They've been truly awful. And the question now becomes, are the Mets going to be sellers at any point? And would they consider moving? I just think from a baseball standpoint, would the Mets consider moving? See, I don't think they would consider moving Verlander. I think they probably believe, like most people, that Verlander will eventually right the ship and he'll be fine because he's Justin Verlander. And if that's the case, now, if they just want to dump money off the books, which Cohen's got a bunch of money, so I don't think he has to go on a
Did you see,
a
though,
money
that
dump.
Scherzer, according to reports, Scherzer has waived his no-trade clause.
Uh-huh. I thought that was interesting because
was very
he knows there's not a lot of time left, but I don't know that – I think Cohen believes that even if you don't get it done this year, then maybe you just hit reset, make a change here or there, and you have Scherzer and Verlander next year. I know most people, if you're being honest with yourself, you would definitely take that and think you got a great shot. So why would Cohen not think that too? But I do think it's curious to see if Verlander or Scherzer are on the market. And if they are, I don't think the Astros have enough. See, here's the Astros problem. I don't think they have enough to get one of those players.
Well, I mean, well, listen, to take that $43 million off the books would be, you know, you might have to take a Montero contract back because I'm not paying.
You have to shift money.
Yeah. Well, not only shift money, not just shift money, but, hey, you're unloading a big deal here. And Verlander ain't been great, so you want me to take his the rest of this $43 million and another $43 million?
You either pay part of it or you. Yeah. But if you're the Mets, you're willing to pay part of it if it means you get a premium prospect or premium player, a couple of premium prospects, you're willing to do that. And that's the problem is I don't know that the Astros have that, a premium prospect like the Mets would want.
Drew Gilbert, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, is it going to be better than what someone else could offer? Probably not. Not if it's a serious contender. So if Verlander goes up for sale, I think another team out there would probably be willing to take a look at Verlander and take their shot with Verlander. I mean, hell, maybe the Rangers would. Maybe the Rangers say, this is our year. We're going to
maybe,
you know, let's take another shot at adding pitching here. But
go ahead, throw in all that money because you got to replace that.
You wouldn't take him if you were the Astros,
huh?
You wouldn't take him if you were the Astros.
Yeah, I would too.
I would too. All that money, all Jim Crane's money.
Yep.
And it's only 2 years, so I mean, if Van Vliet can get it, you can't give it to Verlander.
I'd rather have Scherzer, but okay. All right, if you want Verlander back, that's fine. I'd rather have Scherzer, but you can do what you want. All right, if you're going to take on that much money,
here's my deal. I'm not panicking this year. If it's a year you don't make the playoffs, it's a year you don't. 16, you didn't make the playoffs. 17, you won a World Series. I don't panic this year. If this is not your year, it's not your year. Sometimes there's nothing you can do about injuries. You can't beat the injury bug. You're not going to win a World Series if you're this injured. It doesn't happen. It didn't happen for the Yankees. Didn't happen for the Dodgers. It's just something that I don't think you can trade your way into championship contention when you have this many inches. And I'm counting Javier right now. Until I find out that Javier physically is really good and he just doesn't throw as fast anymore and just can't strike anybody out for pitching reasons, I'm going to believe something's wrong because this doesn't make any sense. These starts aren't making any sense in June, and I think it's a big, big concern. So if you're going to have this many pitchers out, what are you going to do? You're going to trade for one guy? It's going to make a difference? You just have so many McCullers and Urquidy and Garcia, and now maybe Javier. It's just not your year. So I don't panic. I know people want to keep the streak going of ALCSs and all that stuff, but I just don't think it's your year with these injuries.
If the guys are coming back, you know, we've seen the last few years Philadelphia make a nice comeback after a slow start. We saw the Nationals. They were terrible, and they came back and won the World Series. I'm not throwing in the towel yet. I'm not doing that.
I'm not throwing in the towel. What I'm saying is I'm not going overboard in the trade market.
Well, I wouldn't. Listen, if you can get somebody, I don't mind giving up something in the minor league system to go get a big,
like
big
a Greinke deal. I'm not doing that, John.
Not a Greinke deal. I never liked the Greinke deal. But that's just me. I thought, what are you doing? Well, the guy giving him four guys for a guy that's about done with his career. A young Greinke, yeah. I would have done that. Of course, they wouldn't have given him up. But that Greinke that we got wasn't worth all of that capital that they gave up. And he wasn't a rotation changer. If you can get a rotation changer like a Scherzer, even Verlander, then yes, then go and get it. I don't know that Jim Crane takes on that money though. He wanted so much money this offseason, and he got $43 a year. I just don't. Jim Crane decided before. No, why would he do it now?
Yeah, but if the Mets took on, you know, basically took on $10 million next year, you paid the rest of it this year, and the Mets took on $10 million next year. What do you consider?
And they
that?
Take Montero off your hands.
They're not doing that.
Well, then,
that's a net negative.
And you don't get an old Coke.
I mean, that's you take off $10 million, but then you have his contract. Yuck. Yep. Who wants to do that?
You get, okay, well, you take a 11. They take, okay, we're giving you 11 of bad contract. We'll take we'll take 20 of Verlander's. How about that? Of his 43. And you take 11 of our awful 11 a year.
Here's what they'll say. Why would we? What do we want him for? He stinks. You guys should have never given him 3 years. They said, here's what we'll do. We'll pay more. We'll take on 20 million of this. We'll take on 15 million of this deal. And how about we don't get Montero?
You know what's really disgusting?
Why are you trying to give us Montero?
You know what's really disgusting? You're talking about, oh, well, not making the playoffs after a huge win, a great comeback win in which we were down in the eighth inning. Jose Altuve hits a 3-run homer and
Abreu
homers as well. And you're talking about just throwing in the towel. That's it. It's over. That's it. Okay.
I'm not trading.
This season sucks.
I'm not trading. It's just not our season.
It is our season.
It's just not our season.
Yeah, it is our season. Okay, you got a big win. We can't win anymore. I don't know that they'll lose another game the rest of this season, okay? After that comeback, I'm just disgusted with you this morning. I got to fix this, and now I don't want the Astros to win anymore, okay? Now that you're a carpenter and an engineer. Okay, that's unbelievable, the attitude you brought this morning to Sports Talk.
I said, let him cook!
You're just cooking.
That's right. You're damn right I'm cooking.
You're just cooking.
That's right. There's Bly Madras. Ever see a Bly Madras before?
Never had seen him.
Yeah, well, guess what? He can hit. Watch this. Boom!
I did like him in the box, though. He looked like he is a confident.
I was surprised he brought him in the other night for Maldonado with the bases loaded. I was like, that's an interesting choice. Blind Madras, the guy who hit 177 for Pittsburgh. But you know what? Last night, Dusty knows something, man. Dude can rake. He can rake. He hit that ball off the wall last night. It was nice.
Hey, save that. Dusty knows something. Save that clip so we can use that when John is hating on Dusty. So you can fire off a hotkey. Dusty knows something now.
Okay. Yeah. Save it. Because Dusty does. Our fearless
leader. I don't know.
He's got 2,000 wins. How many you got?
Did Dusty make that trade? Or was that a Dana Brown joint or was that Dusty?
Because
I don't know that Dusty's scouting other teams.
I don't think that happened. 728, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know what do we need? We need our guys to get healthy. Where do you get healthy? QC Kinetics.
QC Kinetics can't get you healthy. Especially if you have joint pain and you have a lot of joint pain, you have a lot of chronic pain that's bothering you. Look, if it's just something that happened and it's not long lasting, they may not be right for you. But sometimes you have something happen and you think, well, this is a new injury. I wonder what I did. I must have slept wrong. And then it's just with you and it's with you forever. Trust me, I know that feeling. I've got an issue right now with my back that I'm trying to get figured out. But I know where I can go if it continues to be an issue, and that is QC Kinetics because they deal with chronic pain in the joints. What they do is they take the body's healing power, they concentrate it, and they put it back in the joint. What it does is it's regenerative, restorative processes. It restores and regenerates damaged tissue in the joint. That's where the pain comes from. And that pain limits your mobility. When you restore the damaged tissue and regenerate it, you start to see a drastic drop in the amount of pain, chronic pain that you're dealing with, and that can improve mobility and really, frankly, improve your quality of life. Don't live with chronic pain. There's a better way than shots and surgeries and downtime and drugs, and that way is QC Kinetics. 4 locations around the Houston area. No matter where you are in Houston, there's a spot that is going to be right around you at some point. They've really placed these perfectly around the expanded Houston area. It's QCKinetics.com, 713-913-5285, QCKinetics.com.
We're ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, thriving on chaos.
I'm here to kill chaos. That's my chaos.
Let's all get back to two white guys talking sports. Wow, that's a totally new concept. It's John and Lance from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
732 ESPN 97.5 at 92.5.
Do you know that I kept getting feedback on my son? People want to see. He said, why did y'all hang up on me? I said, well, RJ hung up when you were done talking. My son Mason called and told us, shared with John, and it frustrated John the same way it does me, because he legitimately believes, my son believes, he would beat basketball players from the 50s, NBA players, in a 1v1. he believes that. By the way, did you know that it's changed to 1v1? No one says one-on-one anymore. I don't know why. One-on-one is more, it flows easier. One-on-one, 1v1. 1v1 slows you down. One-on-one is the same flow.
What do you mean?
No one says one-on-one anymore. It's 2v2, 1v1.
It's now RB1 and RB2.
Yeah, where, you know, and that's fantasy.
Yeah.
Also, but it's 1v1. You don't say one on one anymore.
Why not? I can't say it anymore.
One on one.
I mean, is it like you can't say?
So we everyone shortens up.
I word for Native Americans, is it like that?
No. Well, I don't know what this was. Like, I think it's because I don't know if it has to do with texting, but think about this. Everything that young people do, everything is everything.
Well,
is,
that makes sense. That does. Using the wrong form of your is not.
Well,
great.
No, but right. you are. You watch. You see somebody text, and they all text the same. Our intern out there, I'm sure she texts in shorthand. That's just what people.
That's
do.
What they do.
But one on one, if you're saying it, one on one flows. You can just say one on one, 1v1. Forces you to tap the brakes a little bit and slow down. You can't really go fast saying it that way, but that's what everyone says. So anyway, my son legitimately believes that. You got to experience it firsthand, and when young people say things that are so outlandish, it's very frustrating when you know you can't change them, you can't reason with them. And then Snacks made it worse by saying, Mason's got a dribble package that they couldn't deal with. They've never seen it before. I would be inventing it. And we have seen this before with Michael J. Fox going back in time during Back to the Future and bringing the guitar of Van Halen and Chuck Berry to the, you know. Yeah. So we've seen that before. We've seen it play out. And at some point, they couldn't deal with what he was doing, but they also didn't like it very much. In the same way, Mason would be called for carries. But people were really excited about talking about that, and then also – Mason said, what did Mr. Granato say? He wants to play me one-on-one. I said, no. He said, John Tyler, his son. He goes, I'll play Mr. Granato. I said, you're not playing Mr. Granato. You're not. This is the point. Go play somebody. Now, your son's got him outweighed by like 70 pounds.
Yeah.
And I said, but what about a three-point shootout? You, Alec, and JT. We'll see about getting it with The Rock. We'll see about talking to. I said, John knows the Fertittas well. We might be able to get that, and we'll live stream it. He started getting a little like, I don't know about that. He said, if you could beat NBA basketball players, what's wrong with live streaming a three-point shootout? I don't want to do it inside.
But he said he could beat him one-on-one.
Oh, no.
He's got to play JT one-on-one.
Well, he's not going to play JT one-on-one.
JT is smaller than the guys he would be playing in the 50s.
No, he's not. 235, JT would be bigger than centers back then.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they're not.
Will Chamberlain was back then.
That's not Will. Well, Mason knows, like, the question came up because, of course, it turned into a conversation again. And Sebastian, like, could you beat Dolph Schayes?
Dolph Schayes?
And he's like, no, Dolph Schayes is like 6'10". I said, what about George Mike? And he goes, no, it has to be somebody under 6'4", and they have to be
JT.
My size. But JT's too big. JT's too big. So how much do you think Oscar Robertson weighed?
Oscar Robertson was probably 215.
I don't know if they have his weight actually.
No, there. Probably not.
Basketball reference. 215 sounds about right. 205.
205?
6'5", 205.
That's skinny, bro.
No, they were skinny back then.
Yeah, no question.
They didn't eat processed food, John. They just ate whatever came out of the ground from the farm.
So this popped up, and I was shocked. Did you even know this? Where is I gotta go to my likes. So. Aaron Rodgers last year, great quarterback, right?
Did not have a great year last year, though.
Did not have a great year last year, not at all. So, did you know throwing the ball down the field, he threw 40 passes, 30-plus yards down the field. Do you know how many he completed?
Of 30-plus, so deep ball percentage, typically for Aaron Rodgers, probably in the high 30s would be, I'll say low 30s. So I'll say 14.
Six.
Wow.
Six of 40.
Did they all go for touchdowns to Christian Watson?
Four interceptions, only two TDs.
Wow, so his deep ball throws. Yeah, and you had a guy
who
dropped.
Well, you lost Davante Adams.
You lost Davante Adams, but Christian Watson had some drops early in the season. And you didn't really, other than Watson, who was out for a little bit of time, you had Romeo Doubs. Look.
Zach Wilson had 6 completions on 16 attempts.
Yeah, no, for
they should start Zach Wilson.
He is
Wilson.
One of the most accurate deep ball passers I've ever seen.
Yeah, I know.
Aaron Rodgers. So that's crazy. And part of that is Aaron Rodgers. Not all of it was receivers. See, everyone likes to just push everything off to receivers all the time. Aaron Rodgers didn't throw well last year. That's why I think that I don't have a problem with people questioning whether – I don't think Aaron Rodgers is done by any stretch. I still think he looks really good from a physical standpoint. But you know what? That is a concern when accurate quarterbacks lack accuracy. And I know the wide receivers weren't great for him last year, but I still have concerns when his – when you're telling me 6 of 40 and Zach Wilson – who also is inaccurate with
4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 2 touchdowns.
Now, the big difference would be Garrett Wilson would be on one side, and then you had Watson, and sometimes it wasn't even Watson on the, you know, who was.
What kind of, what did you find in studying C.J. Stroud deep ball?
Good. C.J. Stroud was the most accurate quarterback I studied last year. He and probably Garren Hall, whose numbers didn't look as accurate when I watched him throw, but C.J. Stroud. His deep ball accuracy is good, but he's also throwing to some unbelievable wide receivers that get open. So, but he's a naturally accurate guy. You know where I like him the most is when he throws swing passes, for example. They hit running backs in the hands, facing forward, and on the run. On crossing routes, he hits guys on the move in a West Coast system like you're using when guys are on the move. He hits them right there in front of their hands. His placement is good. And when he throws to players on dig routes or you know, little stop routes, little quick outs, he throws it accurately to where it's supposed to be. His ball placement's great. So I think C.J. Stroud with the deep ball accuracy is going to be I think he's going to be good as well. His accuracy is one of the reasons that his overall tape I didn't think was, like, worthy of a 6'7". It'd be more like a 6'4" for me, which is a good NFL starter. But I plused it because – I already know accuracy is so important in the NFL. Arm talent and strength, that's great, but that's like drive for show, putt for dough. The epitome of drive for show, putt for dough, drive for show is Jay Cutler. You know, drive for show was Ryan Mallett. Drive for show is Josh Allen, Cam Newton, some of those guys with Rock, Michael Vick. But the putt for dough, that's Joe Burrow, Montana, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. Now we look at, I think C.J. Stroud has a chance to be a putt for dough guy because he's really accurate with his ball placement. And I think that's a natural thing for him. And that's, to me, that's his biggest strength, is that he, when he has time to throw and it's him versus the tight window on the move, he can put it where it needs to be. So that's one of the reasons I really like him. He's better than Bryce Young at that. He's much better than Richardson and Levis. It's not even close. I mean, it was a 2-quarterback race for a, from a skill standpoint.
The odds for Rookie of the Year came out.
I'm writing an article right now.
How are you?
I'm writing an article, Offensive Rookie of the Year. I do this every year.
Yeah.
Last year, my choice was Brees Hall.
He which probably would have won.
And then number 4, I had Garrett Wilson. And I've actually done pretty well on these. My huge favorite is Bijan. And I'm sure that's odds also. Bijan Robinson.
Bijan?
Yeah.
Really?
Huge favorite. I'm looking at Sports Betting Dime, which I think has pretty accurate odds. The latest odds for Bijan, let me make sure I have the very latest, is plus 250. Then comes Bryce Young at plus 500. Then Anthony Richardson plus 600. C.J. Stroud plus 750. Jaxon Smith-Njigba plus 800. Jahmyr Gibbs plus 900. And then you get to Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers, and Quentin Johnston. My order that I'm going to have them in, because I've already figured out my order, is going to be Bijan, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Jordan Addison, Jahmyr Gibbs, Smith-Njigba, Quentin Johnston, Jalen Hyatt, and then Zay Flowers is the order I'm going to have it in. I'm not putting Levis in there. I don't think he's going to get enough starts. I do think Richardson could end up starting. So if he does, he's going to get some rushing touchdowns too. I'm putting Bryce ahead of C.J. Stroud, but only because I think C.J. Stroud is going to be on a team that runs the ball a little bit more. And I think Bryce Young is going to be forced to carry the offense more than C.J. Stroud is. I think Stroud's actually going to be in a good situation.
So I think Stroud's got a. I think it's plus 750.
It's not bad.
That's not.
If you're starting quarterback the whole year, quarterbacks win this award a lot. But But Bijan Robinson,
and if the Texans win it at all, and he's at the helm,
yeah, sure.
He's going to get a lot of love. You know who else is? Zay Flowers is probably a pretty good bet.
Yeah, I put Zay 10th because here's my problem with Zay, and I've already written it up. I said we keep hearing that Lamar Jackson will throw more and run less, but with Rashad Bateman, Odell Beckham Jr., Mark Andrews all vying with Flowers for targets, there may not be enough touches and production for Flowers to turn heads as a Rookie of the Year candidate. That's my only problem with him is unless Lamar loves him right away, and then it's going to be Beckham who's out in the cold. Right. Or the other thing is Beckham just may not be the same
guy coming off a knee.
Yeah. And Rashad Bateman, who I didn't really love coming out of college, may not be a great player. Could turn into the Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews show.
Yep, it absolutely could. I think those are pretty good odds.
He's talented, and he's highly confident.
And with this new offense, as opposed to what they've been running before, he is going to throw Lamar. He's going to throw for 6,000 yards, right? So
you think Dalton Kincaid has a chance? He is with the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, probably.
I made him my dark horse. No tight end has ever won that award.
Yeah, probably.
Ever in the history. No offensive line or tight end has ever won Offensive Rookie of the Year.
And Will Anderson on the defensive side is also a favorite.
Yeah, I haven't looked
at... He's number one, I think.
I would think Will Anderson. I haven't looked at the defense just yet. I'm starting writing the offensive side, but let me see. Defensive Rookie of the Year, the updated, because this tracks where guys are in Vegas. Currently, as it sits, it's Will Anderson plus 350, then Jalen Carter, 650, Tyree Wilson, 900, Devon Weatherspoon, 900, and then Christian Gonzalez, 950. Linebackers a lot of times have a really good chance in this because they, you know, typically have a lot of tackles. To be a corner and win it, and Sauce won it last year, but you typically have to have 5 interceptions or more. And I don't know that Sauce Gardner had that, but he won Rookie of the Year last year at corner.
Well, he deserved it.
Sacks usually get there.
And Will Anderson's going to have some this year.
Yeah.
Will Anderson is probably...
Will should be the favorite.
He should be the favorite.
He'll be my favorite, too.
And if he wins it, then, you know, we had a pretty decent year defensively.
Yeah, Jalen Carter, to me, should not be number two. It should probably look like... I would say Tyree Wilson, two, and then maybe Devin Weatherspoon, and then... You know, I'd say Jack Campbell. I mean, because starting linebackers rack up yards. Not a great group of defensive rookie of the year candidates this year.
Hey, this segment's brought to you by Damaris' Fajitas. Yes, fajitas. Delicious, melt in your mouth, perfectly seasoned fajitas. I'm telling me, I've had Damaris' Fajitas a bunch, and they are awesome. If you're looking for, did you go to? Their catering is really excellent.
You put them on fries?
Huh?
You put your fajitas on fries? You could.
You can put them on fries, absolutely.
Could you put them in your queso?
It sure would be. Yeah. Yeah, you could absolutely do all of that.
Good.
And you should do all of that right now at Damaris. Go to damaris.com. Time for you, my friend, to talk about our good friend, Craig DeCerf.
Craig DeCerf is, and he's known John and I for a long time. I remember we both used to speak for him when he had Cadillac, when he had Escalades, and boy, that was awesome. And he was at David Taylor. But here's the thing. Once the family sold the business, he was like, I'm out. I'm not going to work for this big company. They don't do things the way I like to do them. And so he decided he was going to move, and the people over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC out in Angleton said, Craig, we would love to get you out here. He's highly regarded in the car selling community because he's just a normal guy. He doesn't high pressure anyone. That's not the way he operates. He really is the antithesis of what you may be thinking of as someone who runs a dealership. But what you get with him is just honest, competitive pricing, honest solutions to your car buying, whether it's car buying or leasing. They will be there for you. They'll even tell you, look, it's not a great time to buy right now. You might want to wait until next month and see what the package that we have available or one of the programs available. And that's who I prefer to do business with. I want somebody who's going to be honest with me. I want the great trade-in value. I want service and selection that is befitting, you know, someone who is not only the preeminent draft expert, but somebody who just has a bunch of kids and wants to make sure I get the best deal possible. And he treats you the same way. Everyone gets treated like family. At Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton, you take that drive out to Angleton, it's worth a few thousand dollars in your pocket. I promise you that. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton.
ESPN 97.5.com.
fighter of the night, man.
One is screaming, he's so happy. The other screaming, a passionate shout, it's the night, man.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance, and the same five guys who always call. Oh, yay.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 at 92.5, 713-780-3776. Come on in if you want to. Let's go. If you're looking for a way to get in here, let's go. You got something to say? You want to cook? You can cook today. Did you see this? That apparently more season-long gambling suspensions are coming down in the NFL.
Not just Robinson. It's going to be multiple.
Yeah, I mean...
Rodgers.
Isaiah Rodgers. Right. Apparently, now there's a lot more guys. A fifth Lions player believed to be under investigation. The league's already suspended Jamison Williams for 6 games. And since cut Lions wideout Stanley Berry also received a 6-game suspension. And they had, this is something. Calvin Ridley, what about you can't bet on the NFL? Don't guys understand? I don't get that.
Well, I've seen that certain things were not clear about, like, well, can we bet on other sports? They thought they could bet on other sports and stuff like
that. Or not in the, you can't do it in the facility.
Right? Yeah. So NFL said something not to make it really clear to the teams. And so we'll see. I actually, you know, what's interesting is you have not even heard about this with basketball or baseball. You have not heard about any of this with basketball and baseball.
Remember, and they're both.
Baseball was such a big deal that you have, you have the Black Sox scandal. Of course, that was throwing a World Series. I was fixing games. But Pete Rose as a manager, that's kind of a big deal too. When you are a decision maker and you're betting on baseball, Pete Rose, they said, no, you're banned for all of eternity. Until you die, you will not get in. Maybe after you die, you'll get into the Hall of Fame. Maybe. But, you know, so... I saw people complain about Calvin Ridley's, Calvin Ridley gets this suspension, but Deshaun Watson gets to play. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Deshaun should be the full year too. No, Calvin Ridley shouldn't be as long. No, Calvin Ridley is just like, they don't want to mess around with any, they don't want anyone to have any concerns about what's going on the field. You already have issues with conspiracy theorists. You know, and maybe rightfully so in some cases where you think, is this official? Is everything? After Tim Donaghy, anything's possible. It really opened your eyes to anything being possible. And we know about point shaving stuff that's happened in basketball, things like that. That sport maybe lends itself a little bit more to that. But, one of the big problems with boxing is, look how hard. Did you see the lifetime ban the two female tennis players got for gambling improprieties? Dana White found out that, they had a very bizarre gambling pattern where a guy basically was supposed to get knocked out in the second round or his first round, I think. And there's a ton of money that flooded in. It ended up happening, by the way. UFC did not mess around boxing. We'd watch matches it would be just random scorecards where you knew something was messed up. Judges have been tampered with. It ended up hurting boxing's credibility, and the UFC ended up rocketing past boxing. One of the big problems was that it was hard to believe that you were going to get a fair shake once it went to the cards in certain matchups. That's no good.
No.
Russian judge.
You can't
right?
have
it. For years, you don't see it as much, but John and I grew up with, you always knew the Russian judge was going to screw certain. That's why you have to have multiple judges, and you throw out high and low scores or whatever. Football doesn't want anyone to believe that part of their, their sport could be compromised.
Absolutely not. No, you can't. You can't. Absolutely cannot.
But have you noticed that every sport, steroids, that's a baseball thing, right? Gambling now, I guess the thing is going to be football.
Well, it's a football thing. Well, gambling is football. Playing. It's what made the NFL great.
Yeah, gambling. I think gambling and fantasy football. Yeah. I would argue more fantasy football. But
I would argue more gambling.
Gambling's
because
been around
along.
Longer.
Gambling's been a lot longer. But Jimmy the Greek and all of that stuff. That happened. That started in the 70s.
It's wild that Jimmy the Greek was on national television that far. But that used to be parlay cards. Like, you had to know a local bookie. It wasn't accessible like it is now. Now gambling is going to really shoot it up. But think about this. Gambling, you think about football right now, I guess.
It's the only thing you think of. Yeah.
Pete Rose.
The off-season for sports books is it's like 10 times during the football season.
But when
season.
You think of problems, now you're thinking football.
What do you mean problems?
Like issues for the league.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
You think steroids is?
Steroids is for baseball.
Guys sitting out games with injuries.
The load management?
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. Stars playing, that's basketball.
Yep.
Bad contracts, stars playing, that's basketball. Steroids is baseball. And then gambling issues is now football. They all have very separate, distinct issues that they're associated with.
Yeah, yep. Domestic violence for a while was NFL as well. Yeah. That's
now we've seen baseball.
And speaking of domestic violence, Domingo Germán with the perfect game, the first, only the 24th in Major League history.
He has been in trouble for domestic
violence.
Is it really,
though, if you have a perfect game against the A's? Is it a perfect game?
I think it's...
If it's a A's...
I mean, isn't that like a friendly in soccer?
It's like... No, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, it's like...
Oh, you had a hat trick. Yeah, but it was a friendly against Bournemouth. I mean, does it really count?
I don't think this is a friendly per se, but it is certainly two different. The Yankees against the A's with the disparity in money in the two organizations?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It was like the LIV versus the PGA.
Well, not really.
Oh.
No, not really, although that's another thing that came out this week that we hadn't talked about. Details of the PGA Tour and Saudi PIF agreement, and it is written right there that the PGA takes over and will determine LIV's future, which is not going to fly with Congress. Zero chance that flies
because
with Congress.
Because
it's a monopoly.
Directly a monopoly.
That's right. So, and with the way Monahan talked about it, saying, yeah, we just want to eliminate the competition. What?
Can they just come out? Can LIV just say, no. We were going to quit. We were quitting anyway.
Yeah. Mm,
no, we were just quitting. It's not. It's like we're going to quit anyway, so we're just going to like throw them some money.
Yeah. Well, guess what's going to happen? Not this. I just don't see any chance. And oh, by the way, Monahan still hasn't been heard from. He's like, I'm out of. You know what? Just give me my money. I'm getting away from everybody. Hates me. Everybody thinks I'm the biggest hypocrite in the history of sports.
I thought you got to be careful the things you say publicly. Sometimes, you know, we get upset with people who are mealy mouthed, and you know, rightfully so. You want to take a stand, but once you take that stand, be careful about painting yourself in a corner. You know, we've seen that. Like, I'll give you an example: Cody Bellinger. I get that he was pissed off, but you got to be careful about it, because if I'm the Astros, I would never have Cody Bellinger on my team. To me, you burned your bridge.
No.
You burned your bridge. And I get that you're pissed off. We don't have a problem with that. But the way that you went about that, you know, okay.
Yeah, people saying, tough. Yeah, bring Cody Bellinger. No.
Hey, Dodgers fans didn't want, a lot of them didn't want Correa. A lot of them didn't want Correa because he, you know, you can burn certain bridges. And you certainly can make yourself look like a hypocrite.
Absolutely.
We've seen it with coaches in the past. And this guy's absolutely our starter. Remember when Daryl Morey told us that, no, despite the rumor, despite the reporting that was out there that they were looking to trade Chris Paul, that's bad reports. Who did that? They're the dumbest reporter ever. Bing, bang, boom, like 3 days later, Chris Paul's sold.
Yep.
Like, to me, that makes you look so bad. I lost a lot of respect. Just don't say anything if you're Daryl Morey. If you want to deny it, you know, then there's smarter ways to say it than just blatantly lying wherever you're
going. I'm not commenting on stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's all. I'm not commenting.
That's all you have to do.
All right. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. Bill, we'll get you in. First thing on the other side right now. Quick break. Don't go anywhere. Top of the hour break is nothing. You stay right here.
ESPN 97.5.com. If you want in, you have to audition.
Hi, I'm Carrie Dubick, and I'm reading for the role of Man at Party Who Smells Fart.